Blog Talk Radio.
Turnbuckle Turmoil fans, welcome to the show here on another Sunday afternoon. Sun Guy and QT with you today. Some show notes really fast before we get into things. If you're looking for some wrestling today, AWE in Atlanta, Georgia today. DOA Pro Wrestling in Troutdale, Oregon. NWA Blue Collar Wrestling in Portland, Oregon. And Phoenix Pro Wrestling today in Freetown, Indiana. So get out there, support the local independents. Without further ado, I would like to welcome our guest today. He is Lou Crank. Mr. Crank, thank you so much for joining us here today.
Lou, it is a pleasure. To be a guest on your radio show. Thank you for having me.
Our pleasure. Now, since it's your first time with us, we're going to ask you our traditional first-time question. What got you into the business of professional wrestling?
Okay, we're still there?
Yes, we are.
Okay, what got me in the business of professional wrestling? I don't know. When I was a young kid, I used to watch wrestling, WWF. I used to watch wrestling every Saturday morning. I used to enjoy. I used to see these guys throwing each other around and stuff like that. I don't know. You know, it just amazed me. It amazed me. And then when I went to my first wrestling show, I said, this is something I want to do. This is something I want to do. And then every weekend after that, my mother had these big green pillows in the basement. And I'd pick up the pillows, slam them down, and jump off the couch like I was Macho Man Randy Savage or something like that. And I said, ever since then, I ain't want to do nothing else. That's what got me into it big time. Actually, you know, my mother and my brother is the one that actually got me into it because they was watching it, and I was always into cartoons and stuff. But, you know, then they got me hooked, and I never grew up since. So, I'm doing it now for a living.
One of the people that I personally compare you to as far as look and style in the ring is former WCW and TNA superstar Elix Skipper. Do you get many people that compare you to Elix Skipper?
One time a few years ago, you know, a couple times they said, yeah, you remind me of Elix Skipper. And I've watched him a few times, and I said, yeah, I know him. I think he's a great worker, too. But the person I was really trying to go for old school was the Berserker. I was really trying to, you know, I got a kick out of his character, the Berserker, because, I mean, he was over as a heel in WWF. And, you know, a lot of people didn't really boo him. Like, a lot of people was, like, cheering him. And I said, man, when I first got into the business, I said, man, I want to do something crazy, something, you know, that nobody was doing. And I said, maybe I just put some furry boot covers on and you know, get crazy, like Fear the Fur. But yeah, maybe appeared compared to him one time. Yeah, Elix Skipper. So
the Berserker, of course, also wrestled under the name John Nord. Were you always a fan of him wherever he went, or was it more or less in the role of the Berserker that inspired you?
I liked him over at AWA. You know, I knew he came from there, and I was a fan of his work then, but when he really got to the WWF, I really liked it because it enhanced his character more, and it was crazy. It was something different. You know, you didn't know what to expect out of the Berserker. And I said, you know, that's what I want to do. I want to, you know, be unpredictable from the fans. I just want to give the fans a show. And that's what the Berserker did. Because, you know, you can do a lot of wrist locks. You can do a lot of backflips in the ring. And you could do a whole bunch of fancy stuff. But the fans don't care about that. They want to be involved in the show. You know, I could do a lot of that stuff. But I like the Berserker, I wanted to, you know, give them a show and bring them, you know, bring them into the magic, so to speak. But, you know, always been a big fan of the Berserker. But when he got to WWF, I really liked it with him and Mr. Fuji. So I thought I got a kick out of the Berserker then.
Now, you've been around for a while in the wrestling business. You've traveled quite a bit. Looking at the shows you've been on, who are some of the best young talents that you've come across in the last year, year and a half?
The best young talent. There's a guy named Kid Hybrid. I don't know if you heard of him. He trained at the House of Truth. I was trained by Truth Martini. So we came out of the same, you know, well, he was a little bit before me, but, you know, him, he's a good talent right there. I've been on shows with, I'm trying to think his name, Chris Sabian, TNA. I've been on two shows with him, and great young talent. It's a lot of guys. You got John Tay, he's an up-and-coming younger guy. He's a little younger than, you know, me and the other wrestlers and workers and guys who inspired me to keep going. Tommy Johnson, he's been around. He actually ran the Sika, the Wild Samoan School, Thomas Johnson. And D-Ray 3000, he helped me along the way, too. You know, we did some shows for TV 20, Detroit TV 20 last year. But those names really stick out. And, you know, I don't think they're done. They still making a mark in the wrestling business. But those are some names that really stick out right there that I enjoy working with.
Now, I'm sure you also come across a very wide variety of wrestling gear, and I'm sure on occasion guys that have no actual wrestling gear, but what is some of the very best gear out there that you've seen recently?
Well, when I first got into business, I got a kick out of Sharks Boy gear, because sometimes that enhances your gimmick, you know. I mean, he's a good worker too, but I like the Shark Boy gimmick, his gear, you know. And I'm not a big fan of the spray paint where they paint on a wrestling gear. I think you should be able to spend some money on wrestling gear. But I think the people that make the best gear is Linda and Adrian Street out of Florida. You know, they make the best gear right there. But, yeah, I've came across some good gear. Some good gear, though. But gear don't make the man. Gear don't make the wrestler. You got to be able to go out there and put on a show and be able to do something. But, yeah, I came across some good gear, though. That's the gear that stands out, though. Linda and Adrian Street makes the best gear out there.
They do have a very solid reputation.
Oh, yeah. Real nice people. They've been in the business for a long time, and Adrian Street. I used to work for Vince McMahon's father, and you know, I know Linda do all the you know, she do all the making of the gear and stuff. So they do great work. So if anybody looking for gear, you know, contact them. They're on Facebook, or get their number, or you can contact me. I could, you know, give you their number and stuff. But they make some of my gear.
One of the things about you that stands out, I think, is you're in phenomenal shape. What is your average diet like in a given week in order to maintain that tremendous physique that you have?
Well, I try to stay away from processed food. Big thing. I hate McDonald's. I don't like McDonald's and stuff. And when I grocery shop, I try to, try to get whole chicken. So, like, whole chicken is better because, you know, you won't spend a lot of money. You can just cook your own chicken you want. And I try to bake chicken, and I stay away from pop. I don't drink pop. And I just stay in the gym probably 4 or 5 days a week. I try to stay in the gym and just try to eat right, you know. I mean, it's okay to indulge sometime. I like little sweets here and there, but I try to I don't smoke and I don't do drugs and nothing like that. So that's the key. I mean, even if you're not in the wrestling business, I think that's the fountain of staying alive is eating right, taking care of your body, eating right and taking care of your body. But I like it because it's cool. I tell everybody it's cool when you stay in shape and then you can, you know, pop your titty or something, pop your chest up for the women at the shows and stuff. And you'd be like, yeah, you feel good about yourself because when you look good, you feel good. Can I say that titty on the radio? I guess I just said it. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Maybe they can block that out.
That might be one of our all-time classic quotes.
Right.
Yes. Now, you talked about not drinking pop. What is it that you do drink in a typical week? Do you drink a lot of teas, a lot of juices, or do you strictly stay with a lot of water throughout the day?
I like juices. I like that Arizona iced tea, and I do drink a lot of tea and stuff, and it's okay to drink that, but all that acid in your body is not good, because plus it's a lot of sugar. You know, you put sugar equals up to a lot of fat, you know. But, yeah, I try to maintain, and water is real important. Drink a lot of shakes and stuff in terms of whey and, you know, after a workout, because you really want to feed your body after a workout, you know, because your body is fiending off of something. It's hungry, too. So your muscles actually grow at nighttime when you sleep, not in the gym. I mean, it get bigger, but it actually grow at nighttime, and the juices and stuff like that gives you a chance to, you know, flow in your body when you sleep, though. But, yeah, I just, you know, a lot of water, a lot of juices. Like I said, that's about it for me, you know, in terms of, you know, drinking and stuff like that. You know, I try to stay away from that, you know, because I take pride into staying in shape and stuff like that. You know, you want to be stand out when you hit the locker room. You know, you want to stand out. Or if you had tryouts one day, have a trial, you want to look the part. You know, you want to look like a wrestler. You don't want to look like the person that just bought a ticket for your show.
A lot of wrestlers have, a superstition or a tradition where they eat or drink the same thing after a match. Some guys will grab a banana right away and eat it. A lot of people drink antioxidant teas, or they'll drink a bottle of water right after it. Do you have anything like that you have to eat or drink right after the match?
I like before the match, I like to stay light. You know, I like to eat something light, like a Pop-Tart. You know, you don't want to ever have nothing heavy before a match. After the match, I just want to get some food in me. You know, I just went to Benihana's last night after a TWA match, after a Takedown Wrestling Alliance match. And you know, I went to TWA last night, and I had to. It was a hard fought show. I had to get me some Benihanas last night in me. But no, I don't have no superstitions and all that stuff like that. I just, you know, I just want to feed the body after a good workout, after, you know, good stint in the ring, though.
In this day and age, social media has become something that almost every single wrestler and or wrestling promotion has tried to utilize to bring attention to themselves, draw in new fans. Some wrestlers are very smart with their social media. Some are very stupid with their social media. It's led to contracts with the national companies being lost if it's used inappropriately. What's your stance on social media as it pertains to professional wrestling, both from the wrestler standpoint and the promotion standpoint?
Well, I think it's cool. I use social media a lot just to promote my gimmick and to promote my shows and stuff. I try to stay away from the negativity. And sometimes it's hard to stay away from the negativity in the wrestling business. That's just how it is, you know, because the wrestling business is so, the inner circle, it's so small. You know, everybody know each other, and you got jealous people out there, so they're going to, you know, they're going to find you whatever, you know, whatever you do. But I use it to promote my gimmick and to promote the shows that I'm on. And so, you know, we can sell tickets or whatever. I think it's really social. I think Facebook is a good thing. It don't have to be a negative thing, but it's a good thing. You just have to be careful so you don't have to engage in the negativity on there. Man, I got caught up myself just last year on some negativity. We was doing Channel 20, wrestling for Channel 20, and our promotion at MPWA, you know, a lot of guys that wasn't wrestling for them was jealous of us because we was getting a lot of exposure, and they get on our page, and it was threats made where, you know, people wanted to confront people at other shows. So, you know, it just became a big mess. So I try to just stay positive or block the people who, you know, become negative. But I think it's a good thing. So this social media is becoming big. I remember my trainer once told me, I don't know if I should share this, but I guess I'll share this anyway. he told me about a particular tag team. I just keep them anonymous, but a particular tag team that's in Ring of Honor right now that should be in the WWE, but it's a particular tag team. This is my favorite tag team. I met them guys a few times, been on shows with them, and the reason they don't have WWE contracts is because something they said on MySpace a few years ago, or Facebook. I think Facebook or MySpace, one of those social medias, and that's the reason they don't have WWE contracts. And they don't even know why they don't have it, but that's the reason. You know, so it could be a good thing, it could be a bad thing. It just depends on how you work it, though. You know, it's probably the reason why I don't have a contract, but I've knocked on the door a few times, but you know, it's a lot of politics. But you just gotta be careful with how you what you do on social media.
Absolutely true. Now, one of the hot button topics in professional wrestling in the last few years is concussions. The medical science has learned a lot more about concussions in the last few years and how dangerous they actually can be. Some careers have been lost to concussions. What is your opinion on the concussion problem in professional wrestling, especially on an independent professional wrestling level?
Well, I mean, it's a risk you take by stepping in between those ropes. I mean, anything can happen, you know, when you're in this business. But I just feel like, you know, we put our bodies on the line, and that's, you know, it just depends. You can't put anybody just in the ring. Because some people in there work reckless. And I believe that we all got families, and we're just trying to get back home. And you just got to work. You just got to work careful. That's why I never believe in the Japanese style of wrestling, because they rough. But then, you know, they forget. You know, I don't know if I'm going off topic, but they forget that this is a work. It's a show. You know, this is not UFC. So I think it depends on all how you can't ignore the concussion situation in wrestling. Just like in football, you know, you can get a concussion in basketball too, or anything can happen. But you can't escape from it. It just happened. You know, you can't stop living your life because of that. You can't stop getting in the ring because of that. You just got to work careful. That's why in WWE they don't have I was about to call him Tyler Black, because I've known him from Tyler Black when he was in the Indies, but Seth Rollins, that's why they don't have him do that curb stomp no more, because of the concussion situation. So you just got to work careful and not reckless. But, you know, it happens. It's unfortunate, but those things happen. I just, like I said, I just try to be careful when I'm in the ring, though.
Another hot button topic in the last few years is the issue of blood. You don't see very much blood at all anymore in the WWE.
Right.
A lot of the hardcore promotions that utilize blood have gone out of business, where they've toned it down quite a bit. What's your stance on blood in the wrestling business today?
Well, I just think I'm glad it's gone away. Well, the reason Vince McMahon and the WWF don't have it, because they got, you know, they got sponsors and all that stuff, and it's no need for it, because if you're going to tell me it's a work, you're going to tell the audience it's a work, but then why are you putting blood, or why are you making blood on it, you know? Of course, it's cool to bleed sometimes, because, you know, the hardcore fans, sometimes on your own, but don't just, not like how they used to do an ECW and stuff, but I don't think it's no need for blood, especially on the independent level, because we're not making much money on the independent level. And plus, you know, I don't want to risk or getting some type of disease or something like that, you know. But it's no need for it, because the name of the game is a professional wrestling. We're wrestling. We're not the mixed martial arts or fighting and stuff like that. But man, it's no big thing to me. I just want to be involved in a good show. I think the fans want to see a good show, you know. But you know, in wrestling, you're not supposed to. The name of the game is to win the match. You know, not to cut each other up or UFC and all that stuff. So it's no big thing to me. I just think we should go away from that, you know. You know, it's because we got a lot of diseases and a lot of stuff that goes on in the business. You know, it's cool with me. I used to be on shows with Sabu, and I used to be like so glad when they booked. I hope not to wrestle him. Not because he's a bad worker. He's a great worker, but it's just the fact that you have to bleed if you're in the ring with him, because it's disrespectful if you don't. But he always had a razor or something under his taped up and stuff like that. And he just had to bleed. Every time he get in the ring, he got to bleed. And I don't want to cut myself all up, because I still got a shoot job, and I don't want to look all crazy and stuff. So, I mean, it's no need for that. You know, I'd rather go out there and wrestle, you know, so.
What's your feelings on the stipulation matches, like a steel cage match or a bull rope match, just something like that? Do you enjoy doing those, or do you prefer just wrestling a straight-up technical wrestling match?
I love all of them. I love the steel cage. I was just in steel cage. I was wrestling for the Sheik's son, Eddie Farhat, a couple years ago, and we did a steel cage match. And I like my second steel cage match, a battle royal in the steel cage, and I thought it was cool. I think it's cool sometimes, you know. You got to mix it up sometimes. You don't want to bore the fans, but I like it, man. You know, I don't want to just wrestle a typical wrestling match. My favorite gimmick match is the lumberjack match. I love the lumberjack match because, you know, you get involved, everybody in it. But you got to be able to work it right because some promotions don't know how to work that right. And the best lumberjack match I had was, I think it was last year, year before last, with Buddy Handlin. We had a rivalry going on over here, and I forgot what town we was, but, you know, that was for pay-per-view or TV, that type of TV, and I thought that match was great. It was great. It was great. So
I think my favorite is the lumberjack match, but gimmick matches is cool.
At this point in time, my co-host QT is standing by, and I know that QT also has some questions for you, so I'm going to pass things along to him.
Q! Well, thank you, Sanjay. Hello, Lou.
How you living?
Oh, I'm young and handsome.
That's good.
Lou, I saw your YouTube video entitled Tyler Black versus Lou Crank. And
oh,
at the 135 mark, you had a modified fireman's carry that developed into an airplane spin for a very nice takedown. My question is, did you wrestle in high school or college?
Never wrestled in high school and college. I tried to wrestle in college for Eastern Michigan, but they denied me for some odd reason. But I looked at the coach. I said, your mistake. You regret that one day. But never wrestled in high school. We made up mock matches. If we got in trouble, we jumped the other kids and body slammed them and stuff like that. But I never wrestled in formally. I never wrestled in high school or college. You know?
Oh, okay. What is the Eastern Michigan school mascot? Is it the Chippewa?
No, it's that eagle.
Oh.
It's the eagle.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's the Ypsilanti. It's like an eagle. Not the most exciting mascot, but it's the eagle at the school.
Oh, all right. Is it a bald eagle? That's the question. Yes.
It's a bald eagle. Yep.
I noticed
yeah.
that you are also kind of a bald, and you keep your scalp very clean. What is the razor that you use on your head? Is it a 000?
Yep, I got three. You mean with the three razors?
Yes.
I use the three razors, man. I don't believe in paying nobody $20 to give me a do something that I can do. And I paid barbers to do, you know, to cut my hair, and they can't even cut a bald head right. So I said, skip it. I can do it. Save my $20 and save my gas. So I do it. But yeah, three razors to me. What I do is to get it clean. I put, you know, you're going to laugh at this, but I put the baby powder or the foot powder all over my head, okay, so it won't mess up my T-liners. So I cut my hair, you know, I cut the hair off, and then to go on top of that, I use the three razors, and it gets it clean on the scalp. You know,
oh,
we can't
right.
do that. So I get it right close to the hair right there.
Wow,
you know?
All right. Okay, very good, good. Now, to get a person the size of Tyler up on your shoulders and control him enough for an airplane spin requires great leg strength. Because Tyler
yeah.
looks to be, at least in that match, about 6'1" and 205 pounds. My question
yeah, he's about
is,
6'2".
Do you do a lot of leg presses and heavy squats in your workouts?
Yeah, I do a lot of squats and a lot of squats and box spring jumps. You know, leg presses. You got to be strong with that. But he's not a heavy guy anyway. But yeah, I do a lot of that for power and stuff like that, the jumping and stuff, and just in case I have to lift guys like that. You know, I don't want to look like I'm weak or nothing like that. You know, but. You know, yeah, he's not a real heavy guy anyway, but yeah, I do a lot of squatting and stuff like that, work on the leg. I don't work on legs as much as I should, but, you know, I do give it some attention, though.
Wow, all right. Well, it looked like you had the energy drink Red Bull on your trunks during this match. About how many fluid ounces of Red Bull do you consume on a daily basis?
Hey, I, you know, believe it or not, I have to wait. I wait to, I don't consume it a lot. But if I have to work midnights, I do drink a lot of Red Bull. And then when I get ready for a match, you know, hey, I got to fly. So I drink Red Bull. I drink Red Bull a lot before I get in the ring. That is a kind of a thing that I do before I get there. I drink it all up and then I throw the water in the can, everything won't get sticky.
Okay. Now, would you prefer a Red Bull or a Lemonade Rockstar, which was and still might be the preferred drink of Northwest wrestler Damon James?
Oh, man. That Rockstar is nasty. That Rockstar energy is nasty. Red Bull, I prefer Red Bull any day. I like the new Red Bulls, the yellow and the red one, and I like the new Red Bulls, but Red Bull all day for me. I'm down with the Red Bull.
Oh, all right. All right. Well, you might get a can for a Christmas present. Yes.
Oh, cool. Hey, send it to me.
Oh, all right. after 3 minutes and 7 second mark of the match, you had climbed to the second turnbuckle, and I couldn't help but notice your jet black boots. Where did you get your boots from?
I get all my wrestling boots because I try to be, I don't want to say cheap, but I forgot the word. I can't think of the word right now. Frugal. I try to be frugal. So I get all my boots from eBay. I get lucky and might get some boots, boots from eBay. So, yeah, I get them all because, you know, $300 is a lot for, you know, when you're a wrestling guy. You know, you try to cut corners as much as you can. So I try to, get a lot of my boots. I got some new boots, too, red boots, by the way, that I get on eBay. So I try to get all my boots on eBay. So shout out to eBay. Thank you.
Oh, all right. Okay, very good. Frugal, I think I prefer the word monetarily cautious. Yes.
There you go. That is, I'm gonna write that down today when we get off the phone. I'm gonna write that down. Monetary cautious. I love that. That is good. That's brilliant. I never heard nobody put it like that.
Oh, okay.
I'm gonna write that down. That is sweet. Monetary cautious. When my girlfriend say, "Lou, you cheap," I'm gonna say, "No, I'm monetary cautious."
Yeah, you tell her. Yes. That's what George Costanza on Seinfeld was. Monetary cautious.
I love the show. Love the show. Show is the best, man.
I bet you on Seinfeld your favorite character was Newman.
I like Newman, but my favorite character was the guy, I forgot his name. He had the hair. He was a neighbor that always bust in the door. Like, hey! And he slide in the door. He make it different, you know, make a grand entrance. But that was my favorite character. Newman was one of them, but the neighbor. I can't get his name. The crazy neighbor.
Oh, that was Cosmo Kramer.
Yeah, Cosmo Kramer. There you go.
Oh, all right. Well, now, Lou, in that match, Tyler Blank versus Lou Crank, I scrolled down to the comments section underneath the video, and a 0328 from 3 years ago said, and I quote, "This was fun to watch. I'm in Florida and have seen some FCW shows. Too
right.
bad Vince owns that too. I still
yeah, Vince service owns everything.
What was that?
Vince owns everything."
Oh, yes. Yes. He said, "I still service his Boca property, AC, and haven't been fired yet. Have yet to be tipped or not have to argue with someone about the price, though. Without billionaire or no, I get better tips and less hassle working for blue-collar people than that family company. And I have known his family for years." Ouch, that's a scathing kind of like a critique about Vince McMahon's tipping ability.
Right. I can't really speak on Vince McMahon. I mean, I kind of want to speak bad about him or nothing like that. You just hear rumors and stuff. I had friends that worked for him and stuff like that. All I know is he changed the landscape of wrestling. And hey, if you can make a living in wrestling, if you can make a living in wrestling, hey, I'd rather do that any day, you know. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I can't really speak on something I don't really know. But, yeah, you know, maybe he had a bad experience with Vince's. You know, he's made a lot of people famous. And once you leave the WWE, you know, you still got a name for yourself out in the indies, though. So that's what a lot of us, truthfully, a lot of us trying to do, you know, a lot of us trying to go. And if any workers say, oh, we don't want to go WWE with them, they're a damn liar. that's the place to be if you want to make a name for yourself.
And I have to admit, if you were in Vince McMahon's shoes, everyone would expect a tip, even for minimal services. Yes.
Oh yeah.
So that could.
Oh yeah.
Cost. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. My question is, if you serviced Vince McMahon's AC, would you expect a tip?
You say. Nah, AC. I don't. What is this AC? You gotta educate me a little bit, but I heard you tell me that. But what is that now? That AC, service AC?
Oh, yeah, his air conditioner, because Vince had a property in Boca Raton, Florida.
If I service Vince McMahon, I'll be trying to throw him some of my promo packages so I can get a job with WWE.
Oh,
I
okay.
That's what I'd be trying to do. I'd be like, take a look at this, Mr. McMahon. You might get a call the next day. You never know. I'd be trying to do something. If you had the opportunity to serve Vince McMahon, you better do something. Don't look for a tip. Look for a job.
Yes. Oh, okay. I agree with that. Okay. Well, Lou, perhaps the filming of this match started before the ring announcer introductions and the all-important referee check for foreign object.
Right.
I know that this match took place a long time ago, but do you remember if the referee checked for foreign objects?
Yeah, he did. He did. Yeah. I mean, he's a good referee. I don't know where he at now, but, you know, those good referees, he checked it, So good referees will do that. They'll check it, and a good referee will tell you that they're going to ref the match like a shoot, you know, so. And they'll tell you the times and stuff. But, yeah, I remember him checking, you know, we just didn't have that on the beginning of the YouTube video, though. You know, they don't show you everything. And a lot of stuff is not, especially on my videos, I'm not going to have everything. I'm going to have my promo and then, like, the match, you know. Because typically it's some of the stuff that I'm sending out to the bigger company because they don't want to see – they just want to see a promo and then they want to see – the whole promo package should be like 5 to 10 minutes and then they just want to see if you can talk and then, you know, how you are in the ring.
Okay. All right. Well said. Okay. Well, Lou, have you ever concealed a foreign object in your trunks that was greater than 5.5 inches in length?
Yeah, it's a foreign object now in my pants right now. But no, I never thought about a foreign object in my drugs. That make me a heel. I don't want to be heelish. That joke is for the ladies right there.
Yes. Oh, okay. Well, Lou, you can tell a lot about a wrestler by what he or she is going to be for Halloween. Is there any truth to the rumors that you are going as the love interest of South Park Stan Marsh? That would be Wendy Testerberger.
Oh, I never gave that much no thought. I never gave it a thought. Shoot. I never gave that no thought right there. That's a good question. I'd just rather go as Luke Crank.
Oh, well, I now, on a serious note, I have talked to several wrestlers, and they agree that you would be a good Wendy Testaburger.
Wow.
Okay. All right. Well, Lou, at the 4:39 mark, Tyler hit you with a knife-edge chop that knocked you back about 3 feet. My question is, what has been the hardest knife-edge chop that you had received from a female?
Oh, from a female?
Yes.
Wow. I'm trying to think. I ain't been in the ring with too many females. Maybe a couple. Vanessa Williams in Canada. I mean, Vanessa, what's her name? Vanessa Williams in Canada. I wrestled. She gave me a good chop to the chest. So I have to, a couple chops. Because I told her to lay it in pretty hard, you know. But she's pretty heavy handed. Yeah. That was my first one-on-one women match that I had with her.
Oh, okay. Wow. All right. All right. Well, Lou, both Sign Guy and I attend Blue Collar Wrestling at the North Portland Eagles in Portland. Recently, last week, Northwest Wrestling legend Tex Thompson took his boots off in the ring, signifying his last match and retirement.
Mm-hmm.
Just recently, Black Sabbath announced its final tour in 2016. This pioneering heavy metal rock group got their start in Birmingham, England in 1969. Their original drummer Bill Ward can't make it, but Ozzy Osbourne, Geezer Butler, and Tony Iommi will. Even after 45 years, when Tony Iommi hits the power chord to the song Black Sabbath, newcomers that are just discovering this band, and this is probably fans 18 to 30 years old, instinctively sense the primal fear that these chords elicit. It is said that this musical Diabla conjures up Old Nick or the devil himself. My question is, can a wrestler or a rock group still be relevant if they started wrestling when Nixon first stepped into the White House? Yes.
Wow. Ooh, that's a lot to. That was a lot to take in. Why not? Yeah, I think they would be relevant if Nixon was in the still in the White House. I mean, in that White House. Yeah, they would be relevant.
Okay.
I think so. That's my opinion.
All right, Will, I assign you the homework assignment to look up Black Sabbath's video entitled Black Sabbath on YouTube and pay close attention to lead guitarist Tony Iommi's metal fingertips, which are real.
Wow. They're real, huh?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to check it out tonight, this evening. Black Sabbath, huh?
Yeah, Black Sabbath, and the song is also called Black Sabbath.
Oh, sweet. Okay, I'm going to have to check it out. I've heard of Black Sabbath, but I've never, I'm going to have to check them out, though. I had to do my homework, though.
Well, Tony Iommi, the guitarist, went before the band got big, had an accident in a Birmingham lathe factory. He was working in a metal factory. And he chopped off two of his fingertips, and he himself molded metal fingertips or prosthetics that fit his fingers. And this is what gives part of Black Sabbath its sound. And it was this drive to overcome this handicap that kind of reminds me of you and Tony Iommi in the same page.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Well, yeah, you can see him plucking the strings, and you will see these metal prosthetics on part of his fingertips. Very interesting.
I'm gonna have to check that out. You got me into it. Maybe I'm gonna have to use that for a gimmick or something. Some metal fingers or something for my gimmick or something. I'm gonna have to check that out though. Black Sabbath.
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to have to check that out. That's my homework for today.
Yes, and in that video, the bass player he looks like Vlad the Impaler.
Hmm.
Like Dracula, yes.
Well, maybe I should go in Halloween. For Halloween, I should dress up like Black Sabbath. I should do that. That would be my new Halloween getup.
Oh, okay. It's either that or Wendy Kesterberger.
There you go. There you go. I'll take it as a compliment.
Well, here's a question. How many of your mother's green pillows exploded on impact when you hit them with a Randy Macho Man flying elbow?
Oh, many. At least about five or four. And she's still asking me about that.
Oh.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. Okay. I had an imagination when I was a kid and I used to, you know, pretend I was on WWF Superstars and I was wrestling a jobber like the Brooklyn Brawler, and then Brooklyn Brawler was the green pillow to do the clotheslines and the drop kicks and stuff. I messed up many of furniture.
Wow. Oh, okay.
Oh, I had an imagination back in the day.
Oh, okay. Well, you mentioned the Berserker as an early influence. Were you also a big fan of Goldust, Booker T, and Stevie Ray?
I mean, I wasn't a big fan of. I mean, I respect those guys, but I mean, I'm more of an old school. I was old school before those guys. I was looking at like George the Animal Steel, Pistol Pete. I was looking at what's my man name? He got a motorcycle accident not too long ago. He used to feud with Ric Flair. I can't think of his name right now. He was in the NWA. Can't think of it. But I used to watch a lot of old school stuff, but not none of the new stuff. I'm familiarized with Booker T when he did the Harlem Heat, but I'm more old school guy, and then that's what I look at too to kind of base some of my moves and my characters. And you know, like Texas Tornado, Kerry Von Erich, big fan of his, because I was watching wrestling in the 80s and, you know, a little bit in the 90s. You know, I watched wrestling, but it was more of a big fan of the old school guys, but not none of this new stuff right now, which I know Booker T and them been around a while, but they're not something I paid too much attention to.
Oh, okay. All right. Now, were you a big fan of the Don Morocco, Mr. Fuji stand-up comedy routine?
Well, I don't know the stand-up comedy routine, but I was a big fan of theirs, though. And I met them. I met them at one of a high school football game, and I was so in awe. Don Morocco, H. Cowboy Bob Wharton, and Mr. Fuji. Those were the workers back in the day. Those were the wrestlers. I loved them. I used to have a wrestling doll with them. And they were cool. They was cool heels. Loved them. Oh. Them the main guys. Don Morocco, H. Cowboy Bob Boyd, especially H. Cowboy Bob Boyd. He was Roddy Piper's so-called bodyguard back in the day. And I tell you, he way better worker than his son. His son couldn't even lace his boots, and this is a travesty that he never won a championship. H. Scott with Bob Ward, travesty that he never won a championship belt. But that's how it happened, though. But you know, the title don't make the man; the man make the title. So, you know, H. Scott with Bob Ward made a lot of guys look good in that ring. So,
well, in addition to looking up the song Black Sabbath, I assign you the homework assignment to look up the Don Morocco, Mr. Fuji stand-up comedy routine.
I will. When they did the stand-up comedy routine, was it on Titan, the Titan show? Remember how the Vince McMahon and WWE used to have their little, you know, little show, talk show kind of scene. They had the scene, their little talk show came on, and they interviewed the wrestlers and stuff. Did they have it on? Did they do their comedy routine on that?
Well, I'm not sure if it was on Titan, but put it this way. Bobby the Brain Heenan is looking on in rapt attention, and he gives them big props. It's very funny.
Okay, yeah. That'd be the first one I look at. I want to see that. I want to see it. So it's pretty funny, huh?
Oh, yes. Yes.
I want to see that.
Yes, as only
sure.
Mr. Fuji can be, yes.
Yeah, I used to love Mr. Fuji. Man, you better watch out. He hit you with a cane. Love Mr. Fuji.
Oh, yes. Well, Lou, what venue would you rather attend if you had a choice? Front row tickets to a Cauliflower Alley Club event or a Comic-Con convention if you could meet up with Raj Guther Pauly and Howard Wolowitz of the Big Bang Theory?
Oh, man, I love the Big Bang Theory. Now you're talking, man. Comic-Con, for sure. I love the Big Bang Theory. I hope we come on tonight, but I love the Big Bang Theory. Yeah, Comic-Con, for sure. That's where I want to attend. Because you meet up with everybody. You meet up with all the so-called nerds.
Yes, I myself am a huge fan of Amy Farrah Fowler.
Me too. Oh, yes. That's my girl. That's my... somebody said, I didn't like her when she cut her hair short for those commercials. Did she do insurance commercials or something now? Some type of insurance commercial? I don't know.
I don't know if she does insurance commercials. I'll have to look that up. Yes.
But I like her. I'm a big fan of her. Now, that's who I'm a fan of right there. There you go.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, who is the wrestler named Buddy that you recently had a parking lot brawl match with?
Yeah, his name is Brian Wilkins. Yeah, we had feuds. We didn't quite end our feud over in Midwest Professional Wrestling Alliance. And we had the best feud. I don't know if they still have it on YouTube or not, but we had the best matches. As a matter of fact, I think I'll be wrestling Buddy next month at Takedown Wrestling Alliance at 2300 Benoit Street in Westland, Michigan on November 21st. You got to check that out. I think I'll be wrestling Buddy handling that night because I was told last night that, you know, that'd be one of my opponents. But we in a tournament for the Tri-City title, and he'd be one of my opponents. So it's not over with, Buddy. Lou, I said it's not over with, Buddy. Lou, because I'm going to systematically break your bones and damage your joints. Sorry about that.
Oh, hey, that tough words. I'm sure you can back them up. All right, one last question before I turn it back over to Sign Guy. Had you heard of Turnbuckle Turmoil before we contacted you?
Nah, I never heard of it, honestly. But I'm pretty sure it's a wonderful and great show. Because you know why? You have yours truly, the future and the present of professional wrestling, Luke Crank, on the show. So that's a good start, bro. That's a good start for your show. But I'm sure it's a great show.
Oh, all right, well, I wish you good luck in your two homework assignments, and I'm turning it back over to Sign Guy at this moment.
Thank you.
Yes. Good talking with you.
You too.
Well, Lou, we have just a few minutes left in the show, so I want to give that time to you. If there's anything you'd like to say to the listeners, plug and promote anything and everything, your social medias, upcoming shows, merchandise, your favorite seafood restaurant, I don't care what it is, whatever you want to say or plug, floor is all yours.
Well, first of all, I want to appreciate you guys for having me on the show, and I'm so sorry I haven't heard of you guys before then, but I'm pretty sure I can find you guys in your great show, whatever. So everybody, all the fans, keep listening to Turnbuckle Radio. The only plugs I have, you know, we got a show coming up in Ohio, Toledo, Ohio, World Big Time Wrestling, November 7th. We're gonna Rikishi's on the show, Al Snow on the show, Virgil on the show. It's gonna be a good show. Luke Frank on the show. DVE, Detroit versus everybody, going to be on the show. It's going to be a great show. If you want more information, just look at my Facebook page. You know, I'm always hyping up my Facebook page. And then, you know, I'm teaching a wrestling school in Toledo, Ohio, too, with World Big Time Wrestling. I'm one of the trainers. So if you always want to dream about getting in the ring and hopefully trying to be on the big stage. You know, you can learn from the best, you know, and I can help you. Other guys can help you, but it's, you know, I got my own wrestling company called Missile Dropkick Wrestling Academy. So if you're interested in signing up, $1,500 to start, holler at me. Holler at me. But, yeah, show's coming up November 7th, November 21st. Back down to Takedown Wrestling Alliance. And anybody want to book, any promoter want to book Luke Crank, hey, I'm available. You know, you can get at me. Luke Crank page or Lucius White page. That's it.
All right. Well, Lou Crank, we want to thank you so much for taking time today to join us here on the show. It was an absolute pleasure to have you. Best of luck to you as you continue on in your career. And hopefully we'll get the chance to have you back on the show someday and talk some more with you.
Yeah, hopefully I wasn't too boring today. I try to do what I could do. But hopefully I wasn't too boring. I try to bring some insight in the wrestling business.
We absolutely loved having you here. Not bored at all.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thanks for having me.
All right, fans, get out there. Support your local independents. If you get a chance to see Lou Crank, he's very, very good at what he does. Get out there. Check him out. Search him on YouTube. We will talk to you next week. And get out there. Support the local independents. We'll talk to you later.
Yeah.